qualcosa?
The end of Masechet Nazir, the Gemara has a din that when you move, there is a din, you never committed to move a body. A person who's buried in one place, you're not allowed to bury him in another place. Most of the posts we've seen that this issue is only with the Rabbanan. Some posts hold that it's a discussion with the Ragachava, hold that it's an issue of the Raisi, it hasn't occurred. The Shulchan Aruch just says that it's permissible under three conditions. One is if you want to move the person to care of the others, where the rest of the family is buried, so there's more covered on this. The other is if you want to move the person to Eretz Yisrael, that's a dispute in the Amoraim and the Yerushalmi. Some Amoraim were of the opinion that it's improper to move to a person who died in Eretz Yisrael, may be buried in Eretz Yisrael, but a person who died in Chutz La'aretz is not permitted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Even if he wasn't buried in Chutz La'aretz, even some. When a person died in Chutz La'aretz, let him be buried in Chutz La'aretz. The Amoraim who lived in Eretz Yisrael, the Yerushalmi, the Amoraim who lived in Eretz Yisrael, would quote the pasuk that says that the verb at the time was Eretz Yisrael. That's not the accepted opinion. The Shulchan Aruch accepted that it's permissible to see my body in order almanash to bury even Eretz Yisrael because it's more covered. And the third instance when it's permissible to move the body is if the Beis HaKadosh where he's buried is the Bizoyim, the Mutal the Bizoyim. Let's say people are starting to rob the grave, they're stealing bodies, the medical students are stealing bodies, or they're stealing coffins, or whatever. Or if it becomes swampy, or if the river floods it, or if the government decided to make an amusement park there, or whatever. So then you're permitted to move the quorum that they shouldn't be mutal b'bizon. So the Gemara has, in the end of Nazir, that whenever you move a body from one place to the other, when it's permissible, so you have to take a little bit of the offer. You can't just take the body alone, you have to take some of the offer that's below the body with the mace. The kever of us. If the person was buried in one place and you want to move into kever of us. There are other cases also, there are additional cases where you permit it. That's it by mistake if the person was buried in a non-Jewish cemetery. A person is buried at Tzadik next to Russia. Whenever he's buried the Easter, he's not allowed to be there, so then of course you have to take him out. But that's not a case when he was buried the Hefker. Not Amanas to be buried him somewhere. So then there are only three exceptions to the rule. So the Yerushalmi says, so the Gemara says in the end of Nazir, how do you know this din? That when you move a body from one place to the other, you have to take this, I think, three tefachim of offer below the, that are immediately below the body with the body. So the Gemara derives it from the pasuk. When I die, means when I die. It doesn't mean when I will be buried. Because then he says, when I die, you should bury me there in the Morosan Achpel, in Hebron. So, means when I die, you should take me from Egypt. So, the simple translation is, you should remove me from the land of Egypt and take my body. So the Gemara gives an additional level of interpretation. When a Sasani mimits right, you should take part of Afar Eretz Mitzrayim with me when you bury me in Eretz Mitzrayim. That's the question that the Mefarshim mystic said we talk about. What does that mean? That means the young Ravina was buried originally in Mitzrayim and then they exhumed the body and they buried him in the Morosan Achpelah. The Pashup Shad and the Chumash seems that he wasn't buried in Mitzrayim. And Rashi gives all three different reasons, according to one reason, according to some of the reasons. According to all the three reasons, then. Rashi quotes three reasons from the Medrash why he didn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim. One is that there's going to be a Makas Kinnun and the bugs are going to be crawling Tachas Gufi. So if they bury me now, they're going to move my body there. So I won't be around when Makas Kinnun. Another reason is they may say Chutzlot Chaim Elabetzad Gilgal Machik. So they're going to bury me here, then bury me in Eretz Yisrael, so I won't have the Gilgamesh Chiddush. Third reason also, Shleya Sinim in time, Avir Eskohan. They've only buried me here temporarily, then I'll move my body. Also, according to all the three reasons in Rashi, you could say that he was buried. That's how some of Farshim claim that, the Torah Shleim report. Some have heard him say that he was tapped and buried in Mitzrayim, and then he was buried again a second time in Maris and Machpel. So some say that that's the mice over here. The Chassam Sofer in his Kedusha Machumish wants to obviate this kasha, and he doesn't want to learn like that, but it was buried twice. First buried in Mitzrayim, and they took the body with the offer, Shekach HaSagbu. He says, the pshat, Rashi says that apparently the Gemara understood differently. Almost the Kareni de Mitzrayim. Don't bury me here because the Shachafti in my verse, because if you're burying me here, the Pashup Shafi Shachafti means when I die. In Satana you should carry me, Satana you should bury me. So he says, Vishachafti means if you'll bury me. So sometimes the word Vishachafti means to be buried, sometimes it means to die. So it's always a vague expression. So we have to figure out based on the context. So he says, apparently the Gemara understood the context of the mashmas of the pasuk like this. Vishachafti in my voice, if you'll bury me here. And then in Satani Minitan, then you'll want to bury me from the time, then you'll have to take part of the offer with me, Satani Bukurakim, and you have to bury me in Hebron with part of the offer on the time. And I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want you to bring any offer from Eretz Mitzrayim into the Morasa Machpeh. So that's why I don't want you to even to bury me for a day. Don't bury me at all over here. That's what some say from him. Because it's really very delicate to say that the Gemara understood the Maisa Shoah that it was buried twice. That it was buried first Mitzrayim, then they took his body out and buried him in the Morasa Machpeh a second time. Some say that says no, the Gemara understood it. The Shachafim Avaisa sometimes means I should be buried.
Yeah,
sometimes it means bury me with my forefather. Sometimes it means die. Shachafim Avaisa means the guy died. He went back to the Olam HaNasham. Sometimes it means bury with his family. Sometimes it just means bury. I will be buried, period.
So
the Pashup Shav Shachaf means I'll die. And then it's Bartani means I'll be buried. That's the Pashup Shav. Some Sefer says that the Gemara didn't understand it like that. The Gemara took the Shachaf means if. And if you'll bury me here, I'll not take the enemy in the term, don't bury me here. Why? Because the Shachaf in my voice, if you'll bury me here, in my voice it just means that I'll be buried. When it says Salim in the time, and then you want to return me to Eretz Yisrael later, then you'll have to take part of Eretz Mitzrayim with me, Satan to cross him, and Eretz Mitzrayim, so that I wouldn't want. I would prefer not to have a far Eretz Mitzrayim to cross him, Eretz Mitzrayim. Anyway, it's a problem. How did the Gemara in the end of Nazar understand the Pesach over here? And if Salim in the time is first to take his part of the offer. The Chodesh didn't only pause when you bury the mace, Agadi HaKarak, if you put the mace in an Aron, and none of the body fluids are absorbed in the offer below, then when you move an Aron, let's say somebody was buried in America, and then you want to move in Eretz Yisrael. When the children get rich, they want to move an Aron to Eretz Yisrael. So then they don't, I'll be partial, they don't have to take the offer with the mace. The requirement of taking the offer is because you assume that the body fluid seeps into the ground below. But if the guy's in a casket, so then no body fluid seeps out. So then the partial says, you don't have to take the offer with you. So that's the Gemara learns that in this part.
Is a person considered shy if he doesn't have enough reasons? Why
don't you like
the
Shia comes
when
Shia comes?
The
whole
everything is there.
Yeah.
And
it
brings
out
Shia,
let's
say, like
transgressions. No? Sure. The person who misses the lips? No? Is buried in the way you? Ramban Chumash asks, why did Yaakov insist that his son should swear to him? Yishevali, Vayishevala, why did he insist that he should swear? He didn't think that his son is going to take care of him. So the Ramban has a famous comment. He says, no, he trusted his son, Yosef, but he was just afraid that Paro wouldn't let Yosef leave. He was the prime minister. He was afraid that if he would just tell a father he's going to take care of it, that Paro would insist that he shouldn't. But then when he swears, but then he knew that Paro was not going to give him a hard time. The Pasuk says that Yaakov was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it's a kichol kahalami. Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Herodias that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov Avinu that he's going to have two more shvatim. When it's a kichol kahalami, he's going to have two more shvatim. And the only child who was born after that promise on his way back to Eretz Yisrael was Binyamin. He only had one more shevet. So Yaakov understood that one of the shvatim is going to split. That's what he says. Yato, now Shnei Benach, now Adam Mochad Yeretz Mitzrayim. I give them Kiruvim V'Shemim Yuli. I give them the status of shevet. Let Yosef should have been only one shevet, with one child. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Yaakov is going to have two more. So one was Binyamin, and the other one is going to be the extra shevet that Yosef is going to have. Pasuk in the end of Yecheskel, the very last parak in Yecheskel says, however, that's what the Gemara Baruch Hu points out. That Lasi Lavoi, Sheva Tefraim and Menashe is going to be one. It's not going to be two, because it says that Losi Rava Yerushalayim is going to have 13 gates, 13 entrances. And one gate is going to be for every Shevet, and then there's going to be a Shar HaKelo for the Geir and for whoever doesn't know what Shevet he belongs to. So the Pasuk says that Shevet Yosef counts as one Shevet. Obviously, this matana that Yaakov gave Yosef, that he split him into two shvatim, is only at this Hayashah, so to speak. It's only for a few thousand years. But Losi Lovo, it's not going to be. Ali B'Dem is Yosef is going to blight one Shevet. He only gave it to his not. The feather Navi seems to understand. The Ragachov has the kashif. I don't understand what the kashif is, but the Gemara, the Medrash has it, the Gemara says, whatever it says, Lee, it means that it's Kaim La'adli Omei Alomei. Shemi Mishmas Kodeshi Yezel Lee, the Gemara says, since it says Lee, so it lasts forever. We also Lee Mikdosh, the Gemara says, the Mishkan that they made in the Midbar, Ati Shik Momdim, Sha'omdim La'adli Omei Alomei, lasts forever. Whatever it says Lee, so here it says Lee, Lehain, Fraimim and Asher, Gulum Hashem Yi Lee, so why doesn't it last forever? Funny kasha. So he answers the obvious terrors. When the Rebbeinu Shalom says Lee, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I live forever, so anything that's close to me lasts forever also. So we also Lee Mikdash, Mikdash is going to last forever. Shemi Mishan Kodesh Yi is there, Lee Lederi Sechem, Lee Sanhedrin State Lee, that's for Lee Shigim Lee Sanhedrin, anything that has to do with the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to be lasting on the world. But Yankov Inna says, Yi Yuli, so Yankov himself is not going to last forever. So what do you mean, just because something has a shaykhus with Yankov, it's going to last forever? No. This matana was only of a temporary nature. And loss of love, it's not going to be.
What does it mean though? But you're not thinking it has to act like two nafras.
I don't know.
You just said nafras for the nafras.
They do? I don't remember. I have to look up. I thought they only have one nafras. Don't they don't get two. The chlala and the nachlas, what does it mean? It's a machlekes taka Rashi in the Ramban on this study. There are a few major Rambans on this study, like on every study. So one of them is this dispute between Rashi and the Ramban. What is the status over here of Reuven, of Ephraim and Menashe? What's the significance of them getting status as a separate shevet? So the Rashi says that the Shvatim got the chelek in Eretz Yisrael according to how many members there were in each and every tribe. If there were 50,000 people in one shevet and 10,000 people in the other shevet, so the shevet with the 50,000 was going to get five times as large a chelek as the shevet with the 10,000. What's the significance over here of Ephraim and Menashe have a separate status of two different shvatim? What's enough to mean? One shevet, two shevet. You're going to get, they divide Eretz Israel depending on how large the Jewish population was, either at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, at the time of Bias Haaretz. Machlekes in the Gemara, whether the Yetzim Tzayim is Chalkoetz, or the Bayi Hoetz is Chalkoetz, Machlekes in Perigei Shnechon. However it was, but it depends how many members there were in Klal Yisrael, how many members in each and every Shevet. So what's the difference? Was one Shevet, two Shevet? It's all the same thing. The Rashi says, well, it's Kaptan Afkemina for the Degolim, in the Midbar, when they were traveling. That's why Menashe were treated as two different Shvatim in the Degolim, the way they were arranged in the traveling. And they were treated as two different Shvatim for the Chanukah Sanisiyim. The first 12 days of Chodesh Nissan, so each Nasi Shevet brought special korbanos. So Ephraim brought separately and Menashe brought separately. And Kaptan Achimin and Eretz Yisrael, if Ephraim and Menashe would be treated as one Shevet, so they would get one section of Eretz Yisrael, gigantic section. They would get a very big section. But you have people from Ephraim next to people from Menashe across the street from each other. Like this, all the people from Ephraim are together and all the people from Menashe are together. They're two different shvat. And the Ramban disagrees strongly with the Rashi, quotes a Gemara in Barabbas, which Rashi obviously has a different interpretation on. There's a long sheet in Kabetzes there in Barabbas, where they call for an alternate shot. But the simple reading of the Gemara says like the Ramban, that Eretz Yisrael mischalka l'shvatim. Eretz Yisrael was divided into equal shares. The size of the karka was not necessarily equal. Some shvatim got gigantic areas and some got tiny areas, but the value was the same. Let's say if somebody gives you a block in Manhattan, that's worth more than a block in Scranton. It's dumb, no. Yeah. So it doesn't mean that they got not the issue. Pay them a compensation. I was born in Scranton. They didn't see, that's why I stopped on Scranton. So the Gemara says that when they divided the Gemara, the Ramban understands the Posh Pshat Gemara, when they divided Eretz Yisrael, the divided into equal shares, equal in value. It wasn't equal in size. It was equal in value. And those areas that were further away from Yerushalayim were worth less, and those that were closer to the Yerushalayim were worth more, because when they were early regal, they had to spend less time.
But how could you do that as large as the second-largest tribe? How could you do that
What I'm saying is that the
land was
the amount of land
was the way the value
is interpreted
by how close was
each one. That was one of the factors.
And you were just by the
nearest. One of the factors was how close was each one. Other factors were whether it's royally junior, whether it's grows, whether it's grazing land, whether you can build there. What it's good for. So the Ramban understands the separating the Imam Babas and Rosh Nachman, the divide are into 12 equal shares, equal in value as far as the real estate is concerned, and every shevet got an equal share. And Ephraim and Manasseh, if they would have been treated as one shevet, they would have only gotten one share. Now they got two shares, so they got more in dollars and cents. It was worth more money. So Rashi has a different interpretation in that Gemara and Babas. She can give it. No. If they would have been treated as one Shevet, then you would have divided Eretzol only into 11 parts. Shevet Levi doesn't get. Eretzol would be divided into 11 parts. Now it's divided into 12 parts and they get 2/12. 2/12 is not the same as 1/11. No?
1/6?
1/6 difference.
No, it's
2/12 is 1/6. 1/11 is less than.
According
to Rashi, it was only for kibbutzim. They were treated as separate shvatim. That's how the Briski Rav has a comment on Chumash, on the pasuk. Shachor shara hodalo v'tanu ein tano. And Pasha says, "Deis habracha." So it says there that Moshe Rabbeinu says to Yosef that the chor was taken away from Reuven and was given to Yosef. Shachor shara. Yosef is called the Shor. So what's the significance of him being treated as Bechor? So the pasuk says, Hadala, it's only for kibbutzim, not for money. So he says, from that pasuk, the way he's interpreting it sounds a little bit, that's how the Brisker Rav has a chumash. In that pasuk, it sounds a little bit like Rashi, that there was no nafkamina for dollars and cents, it was only nafkamina for kibbutzim. That's one of the famous Rambans in Parshas Vayechi that he argues with Rashi. It's not a famous Ramban in the Pasuk later. He also shaved me Yehuda. It's part of this week's season of the year. About Yashkev. The Christians have an original interpretation in this Pasuk. Chodosh. Pshat Chodosh. Davar Seisus HaKlam. What's the Pshat in the Pasuk? He also shaved me Yehuda Beg Raglov. Ad Kiyom HaShiloh. The kingdom will always be in Shevet Yehuda until Mashiach comes. That's a simple translation of the pasuk. So that's what the Christians say. No? So obviously, when the kingdom was taken away from the Malchus Beis David, Messiah must have come. So that's when. That's when Yashka was born. That's when the kingdom was taken away from the Malchus Beis David. That's their pasuk. That's their pasuk. So the Mepharshim will point out. Everybody points out. Yashka was born at the time that the Malchus Beis David ended. Malchus Beis David ended years before. Stam is crazy. So someone else should be the Mashiach. When the Malchus Beis David was Nipsikoh, so whoever was around then should be the Mashiach. If that's how you translate, Lo Yosef Shevet Yehuda, Mecholkiv Bein Raglov, the kingdom will always be in Shevet Yehuda until Mashiach comes. Then when Mashiach comes, it will no longer be in Shevet Yehuda. If that's how you read the Pshat, the way the Christians read it, so Yashke was neither here nor there. He wasn't at the time of the, that wasn't the end of the period of Malchus Beis David. What's the function of the Melech HaMashiach? What's the function of the Melech HaMashiach? To die. The function of the Melech HaMashiach is that he should build a Beis HaMikdash. The days of Yashke, he built a
Beis
HaMikdash. So what did he do to improve the Beis HaMikdash? Things were going down then. It didn't go up. Oh, he's going to have a second coming. Okay, so we'll see when he comes back the second time. The first time. We're in the Hechatensa. What did he do that demonstrated that he was the Mashiach? The Mashiach is supposed to institute, supposed to straighten out the Beis HaMikdash, bring peace to the world. Peace on earth, goodwill towards fellow men, you know. All the seasons.
Maybe Mashiach and Yosef or something like that.
And they claim in their Gospels that he was a descendant from the Malchus Beis David. The whole market for Yahizal is this Tatsif, like Rashi, Shev Yehuda told Mashiach come, then Mashiach came, when Yashki came, that was the end of the Machazel David. So what did they insist that he was, that his father was a descendant from the Machazel David? So what's the significance of that word? The whole thing is a Shlerevot. It's a very Shlerevot, yeah. So what's that? Yeah, it's also a Shlerevot. Many Kashim. They're a Shlerevot. Generally not accepted. So what's Taka Pshat in the Pasuk? Well, Yossi Shevet Yehuda and the Choyte can bring that. We see Rabbi Akiva thought that Bakrefa was the Mashiach. That was after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. He thought we're going to make this God Melech HaMashiach and he's going to build the Beis HaMikdash. But if you have this man Beis HaMikdash, this man HaMikdash, how are you going to have a Mashiach? Is man having a Mashiach? They knew at the beginning of the Binyan HaBayis HaSheni what the story was, whether the Bayis HaSheni would be the lasting Bayis or not. Navi Yecheskel spoke about a Beis HaMikdash that's going to be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash. So they had a Kabbalah from the days of Shlomo HaMelech whether the second Bayis was going to last or not, whether Zerubbabel was going to be the Mashiach. That was the Meduber, the Pesukim speak about. Didn't it maybe Semach Avdi, how did it say? The Rebbeinu Shlomo was toying with the idea of making Zerubbabel the Melech HaMashiach, so the Binyan Bayis Sheni should be the Bayis of Lasi Lover, that will be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash. And Shlomo HaMelech said b'nevuah that depends whether there will be a big aliyah or not. So in the very beginning of the Bayis Sheni there was a very shvach aliyah. If they would have come later, maybe it would have been straightened out, but they didn't. Nobody showed up. So Giblit Mazar. So then they knew for a long time. It was very determined that the second Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed and there was going to be a third Beis HaMikdash. So how all of a sudden the middle of the whole story is going to change? You're going to make Yashka into the Mashiach? You're going to leave the Beis HaMikdash? There's no one advanced in the world that it's going to be hard. The Baal Shem Tov has changed its mind. Rabbi Akiva thought that Bakrecha was the Mashiach. That was if the Churban Bayis Sheni. So he thought, okay, now we're going to appoint him as the Melech. We're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. And this is going to be the Bayis HaShlishi of Lasi Lova. But this man Bayis Sheni, if you want to make appoint someone as the king and then declare that he is the Melech HaMashiach, so she has to do something, no? Has to change something. The Beis HaMikdash didn't change anything. It didn't get the people to be more observant. What's Taka Pshat in the Pasuk? Lo Yosef Shevet Yehuda. That's the Ramban works on that. What's Taka Pshat? The Ramban says that this was not a Nevuah. This was a Tzavor. He says the kingdom should not be taken away. Not the kingdom will not be taken away from Yehuda until Messiah comes. The kingdom should never be taken away from Shevet Yehuda. That was Yankov Avinu's Tavor. He doesn't want anybody else to be the Melech, unless he's a descendant from Yehuda. Ramban, in fact, claims on this pasuk, this is the famous one of the famous Ramban in this Sefer, that the Chashmonaim, he writes for Kedosha Yelium, a very holy, pious individual, but they violated Tavor's Hazokin. They violated the Tavor of Yankov Avinu by taking the kingdom because they were Kohanim. They weren't from Shevet Yehuda.
They had to. Nobody else would have.
Oh, that's what others tell you. The Rambam, when he describes the story of the Chanukah in Hilchos Chanukah Purim, Hilchos Purim Chanukah, writes that the Chashmonaim took over the kingdom, the Chashmonaim who were Kohanim took over the kingdom. So the Rambam writes as if it was a positive thing. He doesn't write anything negative about it. So that some think that the Rambam disagrees with the Rambam, but they point out it can't, because the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos himself writes, you're not permitted to appoint a Nochri, an outsider, a non-Jew, or a person who's Jewish but he's not Miyuchas. You're not allowed to appoint such a person as the Melech. So the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos that anyone who's not from Shevet Yehuda, anyone who's not from Malchus Beis David is called an Ish Nochri. So the Rambam writes in the Furish that it's more than the Ramban, that it's included in the Yisrael, L'suchel HaSalach. Ramban says, Tzavoh HaSazok. Al tefat ha-yayin kemek ha-mach, galos ha-tzavoh, ha-tzavoh, galos ha-tzavoh. So some people listen to the Tavor, some people don't. So they say the Chashmonaim, as holy as they were, they violated the old man's Tavor, so they were punished, and they lost the Malchus.
You spoke to Rabbi Ronner
this morning.
It's something very, very critical. When could you call him at 1:30?
Should I call him at 12:45? It's too late.
12:45?
Is that too late? You let me know.
That's when we will be able to be. We'll wait for you.
Should I call him now?
Okay. But 12:45, you okay. Call him. I have them
okay.
Here. This is the number.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. I know, but I need the number to
call back.
I'll bring you the number. Yeah, please write it down. 7.
718-474-3300. The Rambam writes stronger than the Ramban that it's an Isur of Los Sukha Las Salafa if you appoint anyone not from Shevet Yehuda and not from Malchus Beis David. More than the Ramban, it's an Isur. So how can they say that the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, when he says that the Chashmonaim were Kohanim and they took over the Malchus, Ramban on this pasuk says that no one else is allowed to take Malchus outside of Yehud. It's a violation of Yad Minas Tavon. It says that it's a greater issue if Kohanim take it. You can't tell that from this pasuk, but it says that the Yerushalmi and Hurrius where it says like that. The pasuk in Chumash Dvarim that speaks of the Melech says Leman Yarach, it concludes there, Leman Yarach Yamim Amamlach Tehu Vona Bekerav Yisrael, that the kingdom should last forever. And in the very next pasuk reads, Leyeha Lakonim Kol Shevet Shevet Levi Chelek Menachalo B'Yisrael. So the very next pasuk after the Malchus says Leyeha Lakonim Alvim Shevet Chelek Menachalo B'Yisrael, Yishami reads this Michas HaPsukim. Gemara says in the Yivamis, Nidin Yivamis, that we don't darshan smuchim in the other four Chumashim Bereishis through Bamidbar except for Chumash Dvarim we do. The Yishami Darshan Smufim that Lo Yila Konim, if you appoint Melech from some other Shevet, Lishgefevach, but from Shevet, but from the Kohanim Levim, that's worse. That's absolutely in this. So the Ramban quotes it over here that the Chashmonaim were Kohanim, so they're taking the Malchus was a double violation. It was a violation of Tzavuah Sanzokin, which implied that no Shevet other than Yehuda should have the Malchus, and it was a violation of a real din, not a Tzavuah Sanzokin, of a real din, the Kohanim are not allowed to be Malach. So to speak, there should be separation of church and state in a certain sense. That the Kohanim represent the religion, and the Malchus has to be somebody else. The Maharsho has like that on Zvochim, on Daf Samach. The Gemara says that Yerushalayim was divided between two Shvatim, part of Shevet Yehuda and part of Shevet Binyamin. Beis HaMikdash also, half of Shevet Yehuda, half of Shevet Binyamin. So the Gemara says that the Mizbeach had to be built only on Chelkos Shel Toreh. Only on Chelkos Shel Binyamin. That's the pasuk also. In this week said, Binyamin Zev Yitra, B'Bayfi Yachalad, B'L'Erev Yichalek Sholo. So the Targum Unkelis says that it refers to the Mizbeach, that they bring the Talmud Shel Shach in the morning and Talmud Shel Bein Abayim in the afternoon. And the Mizbeach is the Zev that devours the Bessar HaKorbonah. We'll find the end of Sukkot. One of the Jewish women, Miriam Bas Bilga, called the Mizbeach Lukas. Mother at the Machal Moshe Yisrael, she was complaining on the last day in Sukkot, why the what kind of a religion is Jewish religion is that the Mizbeach is like a wolf that devours lambs, that devours sheep. Why was she complaining that it's a wolf that it devours sheep? She was referring to this pasuk that the Mizbeach is called a Zeh, and they bring the korbanos on the Mizbeach every day. So what was Taka? Why was she punished? Because she called it Lukas. Pasuk calls it Zeh. The question. The question exactly what was going on there.
Don't we say that Malchus Beis David, their whole purpose was to
Malchus Beis David, their function is to teach Torah? The Shevet Levi has an added Yoramish Patach Aleyankiv said by Shevet Levi, the Kohanim Levim. That's why there's a mitzvah l'chatzilah to be memaneh Kohanim Levim in a Sanhedrin. And in the Malchus Beis David, part of the function of the king is to judge the people, to keep law and order, and to judge, love them, but not to teach Torah. That's everyone's obligation, equal to everyone.
Did they take away the dynasty from David? They just set up one king, they didn't necessarily set up a dynasty.
Yeah, the dynasty also. So it's difficult. You can't say that the Rambam and Hilchos Chanukah is happy about the fact that the Chashmonaim were Kohanim and they took over the Malchus. The Rambam says also that it's forbidden. He doesn't quote this Yerushalmi that there's an added Easter in Kohanim and Levim being Malachim. But he says that it's a violation of the Suchalas or Lachish Shnachri. If you appoint anyone who's not from the Malchus Beis David from Shevet Yehuda, Tanis. I thought say the Ma'ashua comments on that. The Gemara learns out from this pasuk that you can only build the Mizbeach the Chelkos Shel Toreh, Binyamin Gil Yitra, the Chelkos Shel Binyamin. And the Mizbeach, the Gemara says, and the Mizbeach was punked at the place where the border was. the border between Yehuda and Binyamin went right under the Makom HaMizbeach. So that's why the Gemara says the Mizbeach was not symmetrical on the bottom. It wasn't a full square. That there was a section in the Mizbeach that was missing. It didn't have a Yesod on almost two full sides. It was missing Yesod because that's where the border was. It's a very funny border. Like that. That's how the Gemara says. That there was no inch of the Mizbeach was on Chalk Rishon Yehuda. The entire Mizbeach had been on Chalk Rishon Binyam. Based on this passage, the Marshon, not Gemara in the middle of Zohar, around that Samach Aleph, so it says, Ma kol ha-ra'ash hazeh, such a big peg, you can't even have a few inches in a Mizbeach on Chalk Rishon Yehuda. So that's what he says, separation of church and state. That the Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't want that the Mizbeach should be in the Chalk Rishon Yehuda who's running the government. He doesn't want that the government that the Karbana should be together. You have to have Kohanim who bring Karbanas who give Musa to the heads of the government. The Kohanim have to give Musa and they have to teach them the Torah. But if you have a Rabbanus HaRoshis, that's a problem. If you have a Rabbanus HaRoshis that's sponsored by the Medina, so then it's going to be weaker than otherwise. If it would be independent from the government, they'd be able to say whatever they want. But now because they're close to the government, because they're connected with the government, so that's a problem. That's what the Masha said. You shouldn't have Rabbanus and Rashi. It's against the Rabbanus and Rashi. Masha is in Zvachim around Afsama. You can't miss it because it's the only Kiddush Agoda in miles. Everything else in Zvachim is Alocha. The Kiddush Agoda is telling you about it. Binyam is a Jitra. The Gemara, the Arshan is on this passage. The Mizbech has to be, the Targum Unkelis says on that passage. The Mizbech has to be built to help the Shal Binyam. Places has a Kasha. This is in Yuma, Frekta Kasha, that the Gemara has a Machlech Satanai, in Yuma, Dafin Aleph, whether Yerushalayim is Kalkul Shvatim, or Yerushalayim is Kalkul Shvatim. So Tezu says, Fish, Lame, if you all Yerushalayim is Kalkul Shvatim, like Rabbi Yudah, Machlech Shabirin HaChachamim, then you can say the Mizbech has to be built to Chalk Shal Binyamin and not to Chalk Shal Yudah. But we pass like the Rabbanan to Rabbi Yudah, Yerushalayim, Lame is Kalkul Shvatim. So the whole Pshat is wrong. So you can't say that the borderline between Yehuda and Binyamin went exactly on the Makom HaMizbeach and that's why he was missing the Yisod. There was no borderline. The going is called for the Shvatim. So how come the Mizbeach was disfigured? Why didn't they have a full square? The Pesach said in the Talmud, the Hara Halacha Moshe Messina HaKabbalah, that's where it has to be. And according to the other Tanah who holds going is called for the Shvatim, we pass him, it's unrelated to this, it has nothing to do with this Pesach. Because this Pesach is not speaking about Karbonis at all. The Mizbeach is not the Chalk Rishon Binyam. That's what Tosfos says. That's what they get. That's what they say. Had a halacha on Meshem Sinai. That's why it has to be. They don't know why. That's what Tosfos suggests. It sounds like it's from the Gemara. The Gemara seems to assume that this story that the Mizbeach was Chalk Rishon Binyam is Chalk Rishon Binyam. The whole story is only if you assume Yerushalayim is Chalk Rishon Binyam. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. Rav Soloveitchik once suggested in a Shia that maybe you can answer Tosfos' question, say that the machlokes, Rav Yudah and the Rabbanan, whether Yerushalayim is Chalk Rishon or not, is the machlokes in Dinei Mamonos. When they divided Eretz Yisrael and Shvatim, so they did two things. Number one, they drew a map. And they said, this is Chalk Rishon Yehuda, this is Chalk Rishon Binyam, this is Chalk Rishon Ephraim, this is Chalk Rishon Menashe. That's number one. And when they divided, each chelek got a Chal Hashem. When I own property, it's not that there's a Chal Hashem in the property, but this is a Tzvi. My name is Tzvi. His name is Rafael, so I give it to him, so it becomes Rafaeli. And I give the Chumash to him, it becomes Rafael. So the Chumash stays the same. What's your Chumash to begin with? So Hashem wants my Chumash and I'm giving it to him. So it's not that it changes, that it's Tzvi or Rafaeli, the Chumash stays the same, the Chepsi stays the same. But there's a relationship, there's a Zitah, that if I own it, so there's a relationship to me. If you own it, it's a relationship to you. But it's not that Bailus is a Lufas in the Chepsi. Except the Hegdish. And Hegdish owns something that has Kedushas Hegdish. Okay. Even there, it's also not so partial. Shimon, the Chalim quote, the Ritvo, and the end of Babylon Seer, that you can have Mammon Hegdish that doesn't have Kedushas Hegdish. So even there also, it doesn't necessarily mean that something is Chal in the Chepta just because it belongs to Hegdish. Kedushas Hegdish is something separate from Mammon Hegdish. But in Eretz Yisrael, that's what the Aloha says. When you divide Eretz Yisrael and Shvatim, that's called Chal Kishal Yehuda, that's called Chal Kishal Ephraim, and that's called Chal Kishal Menashe. Kal and Chetz, and you have different dinim. The Marshal, there was a Hayru Ashur, Chobati Reshet Nachman, and Matas Bnei Yisrael, are not permitted to marry out of the Shevet. How long did that Hayru Ashur live? The Marshal is only Hayru Ashur. Doesn't apply in later generation. How long was the Hayru Ashur? 1 hour? Sure. 15 minutes. the Ramban. It was obviously more than 6 minutes, more than a shur. The Ramban Achumi suggests that it was up until the end of Sheva Shekim, Sheva Sheva Shechilku. So that at the Gemara, the Sheva Shechilku, Chelek Binyamin should be all Binyamin, pure Binyamin. Chelek Menashe should be purely Menashe. Chelek Ephraim should be purely Ephraim. And after the Sheva Shechilku were up, then it was a free for all. Whoever wants to marry anybody they want, then they can marry for love. To learn how to marry someone from their shevet if they got a chevet. So the Gemara perhaps only says Yerushalayim learn this chalka l'shvatim and achwegis hatanam. We pass to learn this chalka l'shvatim means that indeed imamin is. After they drew the map and they declared this is chalka shal Yehuda, this is chalka shal Binyamin, and then they gave over this area that's declared as chalka shal Yehuda, they gave it to shevet Yehuda, they gave this to shevet Binyamin. So that the Gemara has a machlokes whether Yerushalayim was even a chalka l'shvatim indeed imamin is. And the moment is it remained the moment of Klal Yisrael, because there was a stira between two psukim. One pasuk refers to the Mokam Hashivcha Hashem Mikol Shivteichem, Yerushalayim, where the Beis Hamikdash is going to be built, is the place that Hashem chooses Mikol Shivteichem. It sounds like it belongs to all the tribes. And then the other pasuk refers to Miachat Shvatecha. It's a stira. Miachat Shvatecha. Yerushalayim was divided 12 parts. I don't think there's such an opinion. No, the Gemara says Yerushalayim is divided between Binyamin and Yehuda, and the we passed that it was loyin chalkul shvatim. That's the shadow. What does that mean? The Taisha understood loyin chalkul shvatim shum chaluk klal klal. And the simple reading of the Gemara is like this. So that should suggest that maybe the Gemara is a little bit labdafkit. The answer to the question, maybe it's a little bit labdafkit. Maybe the chalkul shvatim it was, and this is called chalkul shal Yehuda. And that's called Chalkul Shal Binyamin. The Gemara says, "Ain't the Kachan as a Chodesh, Ela be Yehuda. Can only make Kiddush a Chodesh in Ibar Hashan and Eretz Yehuda." So you mean the Bez Nagorol who convened in Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is long as Chalkul Shvat. So they can never make Kiddush a Chodesh in Ibar Hashan and in the Lishkas Hagos, they did it all the time. So it wasn't in Shevet Yehuda. That was in the district of Columbia. But the Glenis Chalkul Shvat didn't belong to any one of the 48 states, didn't belong to any one of the tribes. That's not Chalkul Shal Yehuda. But the answer is there was Chalka Shal Yehuda. There was this Chalka L'Shvatim, part was Chalka Shal Yehuda, part was Chalka Shal Binyamin. And the Mizbech had to be built by Chalka Shal Torek. And those inches that were on Chalka Shal Yehuda didn't have any Mizbech. That's why it was missing on the floor. But in this Chalka L'Shvatim that we passed it means a different word. That it was never given over in the sense of Dini Momine to Shevet Yehuda, not to Shevet Binyamin. Mine Afkimine says it more, says in Megillah, that if you come to Yerushalayim when you're Oyla Regel, so nobody can charge you rent. Nobody can charge you rent when you live in the old city, because it doesn't belong to them in the Dinamis. It belongs to the whole nation. It belongs to Gan Shpal Yisrael. Whoever lives there has a right to live there. But he can't charge me rent. It's not his. Just the Gemara says in Afkimina, whether Yerushalayim is Chalk of the Shotman, or not is Chalk of the Shotman, can you charge rent or not?
Can we say something asking about the fact that it was
Yeah, really, that's how the Sefer says. The Rebbe Yehuda says that it wasn't Chalka L'Shvatim.
But then it was Chalka with the Tzvuah.
Then they brought it back. They brought it back from Yehuda and Binyamin.
Yeah,
the Tzvuah is Yericho.
And then
that's Machlokes of Yehuda and the Rabbana. Rebbe Yehuda says it was in Chalka L'Shvatim to Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin. I suppose it says Mikol Shivteichem. So he says they collected money and they bought it from Shevet Yehuda to Shevet Binyamin. After they bought it, then it became the Kol Shivtech. The Rabbanim say no, the Kol Shivtech means that it was never divided in the first place.
Why does the Marsha think it is crazy shot that the border went down right out of some of the Israel?
But the Gemara says that. The reason why the bottom of the Mizbeach is missing the Yisod on two sides is because that area belonged to Shevet Yehuda. That's when he's Alma Kaimon.
Right, when the Kohen go with Yehuda to the Dias Dam and the Karban Chatzis, so yeah. They say that Yisodan, so Dromi Yisrafi, then you go around. So
half of the Yisodan, so on all four parts. No, the Gemara said in the first there was three corners there was Yisod. One corner there was no Yisod at all. The bottom corner there was no Yisod at all. And it was missing the side of... Oh, yeah, sure. It should have been Lamed Beis or Lamed Beis, theoretically. It should have been a square of 32 by 32. It was missing this whole Yisod. This whole part was missing. So it was only, the Yisod is three corners. And this corner had no Yisod.
Yeah, but
Where is
the whole thing over here? Where is it? This was the border.
Where?
This was Yehuda. This is all the Yama. This is the Mizbeah.
The border was.
The border was stuck like this.
So it's
not
all this.
That's what I said. It's funny. The border went like this.
Because
Luther had made that statue. No, no. This didn't have any stone. This whole area didn't have any
stone.
No, the whole world. It's probably an Amr and Amrah here had his code. 31 of us was missing his code. 31 is supposed to be Lamed Beis Alamed Beis. 31 of us had no use code. One Amr had his code. One Amr here had his code. Are they speaking to the Mark?
Beautiful, like,
I don't know. That's a good question.
How much is it
going to
be off?
I don't know.
He said that Joseph set up.
He set for what?
You
mean there in Mitzrayim? Yeah. I don't know. So the Mefarshim say on the Rambam, you can't say that the Rambam doesn't hold that there's anything wrong with appointing a king from another Shevet. The Rambam Tzedek is not worse, more than the Rambam, it's written lo such lo salat in shnokhe. The Rambam would say fa mitzvah, the Yara Chazok, he doesn't write. So they say, Pasha, the Chemda Sisrael, right? The Chemda has a Sefer, Chemda Sisrael, say fa mitzvah. Very interesting Sefer. A running commentary and a whole Sefer mitzvah. So he points out that the Yisrael only applies when there's someone from Shevet Yehuda, from Malchus Beis David, who's roy to become Melech, and you appoint someone else instead, so then it's a violation of the Sukhla Sarakhishnah. But if you don't have anybody from Shevet Yehuda who's able or willing to take over the kingdom, so then there's no violation. So that's apparently what it was in the days of the Chashmonah. But the Rambam holds that they didn't violate any, so the Rambam claims that they did. But the Rambam seems to imply that they did nothing wrong by appointing, by having themselves to a Kohanim run the government. No, in Shevet it should be in Eretz Yehuda. L'chadchila emikach l'chadish ala b'Eretz Yehuda. But they normally did it in the Lishkas Hagozes. So how can they do it in Lishkas Hagozes if it's loin is chalk with a shvatim, so you're not in Eretz Yehuda? Yeah, l'chadchila has to be in Eretz Yehuda. But the evidence it's not, so it's Mekudosh anyway. So come on, the first parak in Sanhedrin. Emikach l'chadish ala b'Eretz Yehuda. There's another famous Rambam in this week said about the next pasuk in the beginning. Vani bevayim pad meisa lai rochel beres sam baderech. The old kibbutz teretz lovoy efrosa. Rashi says, I was so close to Eretz Yisrael, and I didn't even bring my wife into your mother. Afal pishani matriach alecha lahalichen likav beretz kinaan. I'm asking you to take me from Eretz Mitzrayim teretz kinaan, miles and miles and miles. And some of Farshim say that they carried him by foot. Diyun, exactly how did they carry Yaakov Avinu? Did they carry him by foot or they took him on a wagon? So in Europe they always used to carry the mitzvah on the shoulders. If the people know say mitzvah, the chilafim, they would carry the mitzvah. And then when they started having bigger cities and the cemetery was far away from the place where the person died, so they would take a wagon, they'd take the mace on a wagon. So the Hungarian Afraidim had made a big fuss about this. And then Chasaluza has a whole shiva about it. Yeah, how can you have? Says over here they carried him on their shoulders. How can you allow that they should carry on a wagon or in a hearse? How can you allow? So some had the practice that they would take the hearse takes the body on the highway. Can't go on the highway by foot, they'll run you over. Connus Nefoshes? So some Mekel, on the highway, you can go by car. But then as soon as the car gets off the highway, you have to stop the car and start carrying. And we don't do like that. We assume that there's no use. So the Minchas Halozer says, nothing doing. That's the way they carried Yaakov Avinu all the way by foot. They carried him on their shoulders by foot, all the way from Eretz Mitzrayim. And Tzvi Yishchai is right there with Naksa. Who says that they carried Yaakov Avinu by foot? They carried him also on the wagon. They went by plane, whatever was the best form of transportation. So he says about this Reb Tzvi Yerushalayim, what an apikoros he was that he could say such a thing. A fella, how can he say? It's not so clear that they carried him by on their shoulder. So hold on exactly how he carried. The Rashi says over here, the Pshat and the Pasuk, I'm asking of you a request, you should take me from Eretz Mitzrayim, Eretz Canaan, and according to the Nichas Aluz, you should carry me by foot, carry me on your shoulder, such a long distance. And you'll have a taina, when your mother died, I didn't even bother to carry her at all. I was only kibat Eretz, it was Perchat Chum. And I didn't take her into Eretz Yisrael. She died on the road, that's why I buried her there. So he explains why that she should be, that it was Al-Pi Adiba that I did it, that at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, when the Jews will be going on the highway, they should be mispaled by Kevah Rachel. Rachel should be mispaled. It's called the Rama Nishma, Rachel should be mispaled. Okay. So Yankov said.
Before
the Rambam says, why did she die when they came back to Eretz Yisrael? Because the Rabbis only observed the Torah in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, they volunteered to him on this system. Eretz Yisrael, they only volunteered in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, because my husband, Eretz Yisrael, he was allowed to marry Shemayakar. When they came back to Eretz Yisrael, one of them had a daughter. So the one who married, one whom he married, the Yisrael died. The Leah, he married first, so she didn't die. Rachel was married, that's the Rambam earlier. But here the Rambam, Pashuk shot and the Pashuk perhaps implies that the Rambam has this shot. So that's what the Rambam here. Kevah Rachel was in Eretz Yisrael. Everybody knows that. Yes, how can Rashi say Kevah Rachel? It isn't Eretz Yisrael. So what is Rashi talking about? The Ramban Kasha and Rashi. The Ramban says a different, along the lines of Rashi, he interprets these matters differently. Not that I didn't bother to bring your mother into Eretz Yisrael. She was in Eretz Yisrael. Because he didn't bury her more than Achpelah. On this difficult Rashi, the different interpretations that are given. So there's a famous comment from a conversation. If I'm not mistaken, I think it could be that Rabbi Shadel has it in the footnotes in his Rambam. But from Sefer HaChumash, on this pasuk has a suggestion that in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they created the Kedushas Haaretz, either Kibush v'Chalukah, they were Shevish Kibush v'Shevish Chilukah. So the Kedushas Haaretz was Nigmeret after the first 14 years. And the Dinam of Shumas Amayisah, Shemitah Yovel, everything began on the 15th year. That was the beginning of Kedusha Torah. Before that, there was no Kedusha. So in the days of Avraham Avinu, there was no Kedusha Torah. So what he's speaking of Eretz Yisrael, what did Eretz Yisrael mean at that time? You could say that it meant the part of that land from the whole globe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised to give to Avraham Avinu, so it includes the whole Eretz Yisrael. Is it yet? All of Eretz Yisrael is considered Eretz Yisrael, but the parts that were purchased by the Yovels had a more intense status of Eretz Yisrael. So to speak, it had a Kedusha, if you can say it like that. It didn't really have a Kedusha, but it had more of a Hashivah than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So the Moros Machpelah had been purchased by Avraham Avinu, and Shechem had been purchased. The Pasuk says that Yaakov purchased Shechem. So those sections that had been purchased by the Yovels, they were considered more bona fide Eretz Yisrael than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So Rachel was buried in the Chutzlar, and that's it. Rachel was buried not in one of the areas. He said, if I would have gone to Beis Lechem and I would have gone to the municipality and I would have offered them a lot of money, I could have purchased Beis HaKvaris, said there. Just like Moshe Machpelah was purchased, just like Shem was purchased, I could have purchased something. I didn't bother going. I didn't go to Beis Lechem to the municipality and purchase a plot of land. I just buried it on the side of the road. So that, in a certain sense, was Chutzlar.
Why didn't you buy the
place? I don't know. What is the Nechomer that Yaakov gives his son Yosef? He says that even though I didn't treat your mother properly, you should know that it was Alpia Dibur. She really deserves to be buried in Rosh HaMachpelah, but instead the Rebbeinu Shalom told me to bury her here. And why? So that she should cry and be mispalo for her children and later generations. There's some comment on this Rashi that what the Medrash is driving at is the following. What's the yichus of being buried in Rosh HaMachpelah? What do you gain? What's the big sinus? Air conditioning, steam. What's the big yichus being buried in Moris HaMachpelah? The yichus is that Moris HaMachpelah is al pidin and mokim tefila. As the Gemara says in the end of Bava Metzia, the Gemara has an agadah that Eliyahu HaNavi used to come visit the yeshiva of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Rebbe's yeshiva all the time. Once he came late on Rosh Chodesh and he asked him why he came late, so he said he had to go get the others, to wake up the others, had to wash Avraham Avinu in the middle of us, had to wash his hands and get him up to daven. Got him with him that he put him back to sleep, then he got Yitzchak and he washed Negelvaz with him. But the Masha says, when you wash Negelvaz like a person who's sleeping, the person is dead, he's dead. But the other Tzadikim, the Tzadikim, the Tzadikim, is like a person who's sleeping. So when you wake up in the morning, you wash him through the night. But he washed Yitzchak and then he got him with him, then he washed Yankin's hands and he got him with him. So the Gemara says that the Mashgiach and Yeshiva asked Eliyahu HaNavi when he came late, because why don't you wake them all up together and daven with everybody all together? Well, you have to daven three times. He says, no. If all three will daven together at the same time, they'll bring Mashiach and the Rebbeinu Shalom brings one. So the Mashiach comments on that, you know, that it will appear that if it's the others daven, every Rosh Chodesh, they daven for Birchas HaMashiach. So that's apparently the whole yichus of Moris HaMachpelah, that it was designated min HaShemayim as a Mokum Tefillah. So he says, your mother is buried in a Mokum Tefillah. Keberot was a Mokum Tefillah. So she has the exact same yichus as if she were buried in Moris HaMachpelah. She's not missing any yichus. Same air conditioning and the same steam and everything. You have a taina that it's not the same Mokum Kodesh, the same Mokum Tefillah as Moris HaMachpelah. So I'll say, love, Rachel is going to be mispowered when they're going to be brought into captivity. There's another famous Ramban on the Pasuk in this Sedra on the Alekima Shir Salcha by Yitzhak Lefan of Abraham Yitzchak or Lekim Haroi Oysim Yodi at Ayon Azeh for the Simhom Shat and Haroi like Shem Roi Lo Yechsa, no? The Lord is my shepherd. Shem Roi, he's my shepherd. So the Ramban says, Alekim Haroi Oysim doesn't mean that he treated me like a lamb, that he took care of me. Haroi means he was my buddy, Reya. Roshin Reya the Chibur. I think the Ramban says it on the other pasuk in Bolak also. The true Asmel of Bol. How does the pasuk go? Yeah. One lip sukin. Kind of how it begins. So he bedov miyakov. It ends off. The true Asmel of Bol. So the Gemara says that that pasuk counts for one of the psukim of Malchias and for Shofis. You can use that pasuk, the same pasuk twice. Because it says true Asmel of Bol. So Melech is the Rebbeinu Shlomo, so it's Malchias. And Truas is Truas, so you can use that for Shofis. That's how the Gemara comes to the conclusion. So the Gemara understands that Truas Melech means the blast of the Shofar of the king, the trumpet of the king. Truas Melech both. It's the Jews blow Shofar, in honor of the king after his birth. And the Ramban Achumish interprets differently. He thinks that the Pshut HaShamik thinks that the Gemara says it's a drasha, and you can even use a pasuk to mark as a kind of Shofar if the Pshut was not talking about that. The drasha is talking about that, it's also good. Like the pasuk, so there's also two interpretations there. One interpretation is that it refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, Yibishur Melech, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Melech. And some say that that's the Pshut HaShamikru. Then the Gemara says, Alderach Adrash, or Yibishur Melech, refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That you can use that pasuk as a pasuk to Malchus. I can use it for Malchus. It's in the Farshim on the Chumash state that the Pshuta Shemikah that refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. But Al Derech Hadrash refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's legitimate to use a Pasuk. Malchus of Chumash Shemikah, so even if the Pshuta is not referring to that, if the Drash is Chachavim, if you have a hidden, you have an additional level of interpretation, the hidden meaning is alluding to Malchus of Chumash Shemikah, it's also legitimate. So here also, the Ramban HaChumash, I think, learns that the Teruah Smelachma means that we have the closeness, we have the Yedidus of the king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very close with the Jewish people. It doesn't mean that we blow shade.
In the Meregu, I
Yeah, Reya. Reya means a friend, that's right.
Yeah.
The Ramban HaChumash has that. The Kim HaRoa Osi, the other Yara Yon HaZeh, the Ramban on this Pasuk, has the famous comment. Reya means Lashon Reya of the Chibur. No, no, that I think means the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not going to argue with the King James. I don't think so. I think that means my shepherd. But here he interprets that it means Rosh and Reya. I'm bothered with the cash on that passage. For the king, Moshe, Talcha, Avotav, the father of Avraham, Yitzchak, the king, how Reya is, why does he take twice on the king? The same on the king. Usually what they say on Al Derech HaPshat, the answer to the Ramban's Kasha over here, why is it twice of the king? Because when we daven, we say, Elokeinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Why do we say three times Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov? The answer is that it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Avraham. Yitzchak Yaakov followed that religion that was founded by Avraham Avinu. Each one of the Avos got some new gilui. He got some new hisgalus hashchina. And then the Gemara says, and after that, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get anything. Moshe Rabbeinu understood better than they did, but he didn't get any new. He had deeper insight into the Yisodis Amunah that were given to the Avos, but he didn't have any new Yisodis Amunah. That's what the Gemara says in Brachas in the first paragraph. Nikra Avos Ela Shlosha. There are only three Avos. What does it mean only we say Avos HaOlam? Mishnah calls the Shana Mitzil Avos HaOlam. So how can you say Nikra Avos Ela Shlosha? So the answer is, when you say Lekeinu, Lekei Avosenu, Lekei Avraham, Lekei Yitzchak, Lekei Yaakov, that means the Nikra Avos Ela Shlosha. It means the founding fathers of our religion. There are only three founding fathers of our religion. Why are they founding fathers? Because each one got a new insight into Elokus. That's why you say Lekei Avraham, Lekei Yitzchak, Lekei Yaakov. Each one had some new hisgalus. So that's what the Velt says to the title over here in the Pasuk, to answer the Ramban's Kasha. Who Elokim, Asher Hisafu Avraham, the son of Avraham Yitzchak, who Elokim Haroya, Oisi, it was a different Elokim, like Elokei Yankiv. Wasn't Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak. The Yankiv Gankin was a card-carrying member of that religion. No, it was Elokei Yankiv. He had a new Hisgalus. And every person should strive to have a personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It shouldn't just be sufficient. Not only here, he was speaking about the others. Each one gained some new insight into Elokus, and all three together gained all the insight. Those are the others of our religion. But the Pasuk says in Oz Yashir, Zekei Levi Anvei Elokei Avi V'Aremi Menhu. So Rashi comments on that Pasuk, Rashi quotes a Medrash. Zekei Levi Anvei Elokei Avi V'Aremi Menhu Loi Bi Tchilot HaKadusho El Mechzakasi Mi Avosai. Zekeli, this is my God. But you shouldn't think that the religion begins from me. The Tzilas HaKadusha begins from my forefathers. I carry on the religion that I have from my forefathers. But I have my own personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not just that I'm just riding along on what they transmitted to me. He has his own relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu at that time is not speaking of any new insights that he gained into Elokus, still every person has to have his own relationship with that other person. When you write a Sefer Torah, the meaning is that you write Vav, Vav Yehu Amudim. You start each column with the letter Vav. That's the meaning that the late Svarim had. Based on the pasuk Vavi Huamud. That's not Miyake. But what is a real din, the Masora says that you have to have six columns that begin with specific words. The Bereshit has to be the beginning of a column. Okay. You can't start writing something else. The Bereshit has to be on the top of the column. Then you have the next letter that has to be on the top of the column is a Nisbik Seder. The Rosh HaTevis is Beis Yud Hei Shin Mem Vav. That's what it says. The Rosh HaAmud and the Rosh HaTevis is the Koshino. So the Yud, the Machloik is which the Yud is, whether it's Yehuda Ata Yoducha Achecha, is it the Yud of Yehuda or the Yud of Yoducha? There are two traditions. Now before Yehuda, all Rappam Tiyoz Rabosim Kikra Shasachat Navachitz in the Yisrael, there's a Pesucha. Pesucha means that it's empty space till the end of the line. So Yehuda has to start beginning of the next line. So if you say that it's Yoducha, you just have Yehuda Ata on the line, and then on the last line on the page, and then the next line is going to begin Yoducha Achecha. So they say, how could that be? Yehudat only has eight letters. Yud, hey, vav, dalet, hey, aleph, tav, hey. You have an empty space in between. You only have eight letters. And if it is, that every line has to have a minimum of nine letters written on it. So it says, there is possible if you don't have nine letters. Obviously, that tradition is incorrect. That it's Yehuducha. It has to be Yehuda. Unless one should say that the Koshimo is Likuba. Some Rishonim say that this is not separation. It has to begin in the beginning. The base is going to be in the beginning. Or that the Yud and the Hey and the Shin Mem Vav, that they all have to be in the beginning of the top of the column, is that Lahatzila, is that Niyakib and the Yevon? Not all of my Maseres are Likuva. So if you should say that that's Likuva, then you can't ask any Kasha. The Kasha Mo is Likuva, so you can say that it's Yoducha. And here, Kach Nemer Halacha, that the last line on that column should say Yehudata, even though it only has eight letters. There's a discussion of this in the Achronim. In the Biur, that some people enjoy reading and other people hold that you're not allowed to read. Here by Naftali Hirschwiesel, he was a student of Mendelssohn, the father of the Reform movement. So he was a Fumer. He wrote a Bier on Fumer. It's called Bier Besum Seichel. So he has a German translation on the side of the Fumer. Then on the bottom of the page, on the Bier. He said that Rabbi Yankee Kamenetsky used to enjoy it. And many other girls also used to enjoy reading it. Others held it. So it was too tearing that line. Look at it. That's an interesting view. Remember, Rav Gerelich told us years ago, what's the taina that they have against the Biur? It doesn't have any apikursis there. What do they say that it has apikursis? No apikursis, just quote classical Rafosh. Rashbam and Rashi Ramban and Ben Ezra. And he quotes Gemaras and he shows which pshat fits in best into the topic. So he said, no, he said, no, because some Adam Gottel in Europe said, you have to check the facts to see if it's correct. This is the way Rav Gerelich told us, that in the Gemara, in the beginning of Perek Chelik and Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, Remez l'tchias ha-tera min ha-tera minayin. Where is that tchias ha-neis? Remez l'tchias ha-neis min ha-tera minayin. So the Gemara gives a whole series of remarks. This pasuk, that pasuk, that pasuk. So he said, if you look in the Biur, and each and every pasuk, he gives a different interpretation. I don't know. Anyway, so he has in his Hagdamah Techumash, he has a whole essay when he talks about this, about the Yehuda Yoducha, which is it, the whole. He quotes an Achrayim. There's a classical sefer that's called Yain Levana, a Drush sefer on Turkey Ovid that all the Rabbanim in Europe used to use. Has comments from all the Rabbanim. It has comments from big Rabbanim. I forgot already which one. And all the darshan used to use this state, the Yain Levan. Couldn't be too good. Minig the Ramot writes a minig that when you finish a sefer, you in shul by Kriyas HaTorah you say Chazak Chazak in his Chazay. So Rashi pointed out, I think the Bir Agro has this, that it's based on the Gemara in the end of Brachos. The Gemara says Shlosh Advarim Tzvich Mechizuk. You have to have chizuk for Lilu Torah and for Maizim Tevin and for Tfilah. So what does it mean chizuk? The Rashi learns on the Gemara chizuk that once you finish, you should do it again. Let's say a person davens and his prayers are not yet answered, he should daven again. A person learns, even though he thinks that he knows everything, he should learn again a second time. So after we complete learning the whole chumash, or a whole Mesichta, or a whole Sefer of Vayikra, Sefer Bereshit, so you say Chazak, Chazak, and it's Chazak, that we're going to Chazak, or we're going to continue learning Vayikra. But by Mincha we start learning Sefer Shmos. There's a machlokes in Achrayim whether the one who gets the aliyah who's going to say Hashem Asalana Tarasem is after the aliyah. Is it a hefsek if he says chazak, chazak, and his chazak? Maybe it's called a hefsek because he's masked between the Kriyat HaTorah and the Bracha Shel Achrayim. Maybe everybody else should say the chazak, chazak, except for the one who got the aliyah. So some Achrayim say it's a hefsek and others say it's a hefsek. Here from Minhag. Here in the neighborhood used to be one Professor Levy. Always used to stand by the fellow who got the last aliyah. And then everybody who gets the last aliyah, they all say chazak, chazak, and chazak. So after the guy who finished aliyah, he would tell him, you did wrong. Every single time. He would tell him, you did wrong. It says in the Poskim that it's a hefsek. You're not allowed to do it. It's a machlokes. A lot of Poskim say it's not a hefsek. Huh? Why shouldn't it be the same Mr. Hefsek on everybody? I don't know. Rav Chaim Volozhiner's brother, Rav Zalmel Volozhiner, was a legend during his lifetime. Tell all kinds of stories about him. But one of the stories that they used to say about him was that when he would nurse the milk from his mother, he would say a bracha. And he was only 1 year old. He would say a bracha. So they used to refer to that as bracha shadayim. The bracha that he said. I think that Mendel Amar has thought, he talks about, he makes fun of the little children that they say shahakal yivadvara, because they want the mother to give them food. So they say a bracha and they wait till the mother. But they say about him that he was a tzaddik. It was one of his midas chasidus at a very young age. The shilut is, as on this day, with all the dinim of matan shtidera, the shilut seems to have understood that Ephraim and Menashe, Keruvim and Shimon, Yiyuli, that this was a matan shtidera. He wasn't a chayla mitzvah. Shtibira doesn't mean that he's holding by tie. Shtibira just means that he's laying in bed, he's sitting there. So Dibir Shtibira kiksu v'mechim surin dom is a takvam the Rabbanim in Gemara has, not a din derayt. But the Shulchan seems to understand on this passage that he was Hinei Avicha Chayla and he came in a far by Yitzchak v'chav Yeshev al Amito, he was Mutal Amito. So that's the description of a the Targum Unkle says, Hinei Avicha Chayla, Ho Avuch Shchid Mera. What does it mean the death bed? The Rambam stresses, Shchid Mera doesn't mean on his death bed, it just means that he's sick in bed. The din is if the Divrei Shchid Mera Imam HaTchoyzer, if a guy's sick in bed, he has a cold. And he says, a tzavoy, he says, I want this to go to him and this to go to him. So then the din is if he gets better, he recuperates and then he goes back to business, so then all the Matan Shchid Mera bot. If he dies, then it's not bot. Imamad, if he recuperates, then chayzer. Then he can back out from everything. We assume that it's automatic. It's an implicit chazor. When he's walking around and doing his daily routine, we assume that he backed out from everything. But at the time that he makes the tzavuah, he doesn't have to say, I think I'm going to die. If he's just sick in bed, even though he's not a chayla mitzuka, we assume that he has the status of the rishim. So the shulchan understands that this giving of the b'chore, the prime menashe, grub rishim, and yiyuli, was the Torah of Divrei Shchemira. Matan Shchemira. The Gemara has a machlokes in the end of Bava Basra. The Matan Shchemira is the right of the Rabbanan. The Gemara had a machlokes. The Havamina Maschana, that's not a machlokes. The Havamina was that Matan Shchemira is the right of the Maschana. It was that Matan Shchemira is only the Rabbanan. Not a machlokes. But even though Matan Shchemira is only the Rabbanan, the Asmachta that the Gemara bases it on, Tayshin points out, the Asmachta that it's based on is a pasuk which speaks about Yerusha. That the Gemara says, Yerusha Shavu Rabbanim, such treated like a kinyan. Normally we have a din, ain't kinyan lachamisa. But you can't be makta mamon lachamisa. Let's say if I have a chumish, so I could be makta the chumish to you, lachazma. Chumish is hard. Karka is easier. To make a kinyan on karka, lachazma is easier. You make a kinyan kesef, you make a kinyan shtar, the other person is still holding on to the shtar. So then I say that you make a kinyan lachalamis. What happens if I make a kinyan lachalamin and I die in between? So then the Gemara has a klal, ain't kinyan lachamis? Or let's say, not that I say I want the kinyan to take effect in June and I die in May. What if I say I want the kinyan to take effect after I die? I said explicitly after I die, and then it's no good. Ain't kinyan lachamis? So the one exception to the rule is Yerusha, because that's not a hakno. And the Gemara says the other exception is matna shchemira. Matna shchemira is only kinyan lachamis, it's not kinyan mechayim. How could it be kinyan lachamisa if there's no kinyan lachamisa? That's all part of the takana of the Rabbanan. So the answer is because Kiyush is Shavim Rabbanu. It's not that the Rabbanu and the Tekinu. Today she let the Torah guide her, so that Allah declares that that person becomes my Yorish. How can he become my Yorish? He's not a relative. There are a million and one relatives closer than him. I'm from Shevet Levi and he's from Shevet Yisachar. How does he become my relative? If the million and one people would be dead, then he would be the closest relative alive. But they're not dead. But kach tikna chacham, ki rushi shavi rabbana, they declare it as if, we consider as if everybody in between is dead and he's the only Yorish. That's why the Gemara says, Gemara tells a story in the end of Bava Basra that there was a fellow who was a geir, he's a geira, and he was about to die, so he wanted to leave his nechatim to a certain person who was also a geir. So the Gemara says that matna shchibina wouldn't work. So you had to make an udisa, kinyan udisa. Why wouldn't matish shemira work? So the Gemara says, matish shemira ki yirusha shali rabbanan. Man de isi birusha isi matish shemira. Man de leite birusha leite matish shemira. Whoever doesn't have any yorshim doesn't have a din of matish shemira. Because it has to, with the rabbanan, it's not a din of kinyan, it's a din of yirusha. Shaila, there's a major dispute there between the Rashba and the Ra'or, who were, of course, contemporaries of Rashba and the Ra'or, were both Talmidim of the Ramban. They're both learned by the Ramban of Barcelona. So in the Tshuvas HaRidva is a long dispute printed side by side in the standard edition. You have the Tshuvas HaRashba next to the Tshuvas HaRa'or. So this, the Chisorin over there was that the Noisen, the Shchimira was a Ger, and he didn't have any relatives. Or it means the Mekabel HaMatana. That story was Issa Giyar was a Ger, and he had no relatives in the world, had no blood relatives. He was a Gersh and his got caught in Shinozab, but he didn't have no relatives in the world. And the one to whom he wanted to give the Matana also had no relatives in the world. He was also a Ger. Happened to be his son. It happened to be his son, but they were his biological son, but they weren't related. So he didn't have any relative in the world that he didn't have. Ain't the Ishgoyal. Neither of them had any relatives. It was that he saw him because the Naisen was Ain Lo Yorishim, or because the Mekabel Ain Lo Morishim. Which was the Chisorin? In a normal case, let's say a Ger wants to give to a person who has a whole family, has lots of relatives. A Nafkimina, a normal person who has a lot of relatives, wants to give to a Ger. It's a Chisorin Biyad on the part of the Naisen and the Mekam. So the big Nafkimina Ladina is, you don't have so many people giving lots of Shchimera to Ger. So what you have is, a Shchimera says he wants to leave money to Tzedakah. So the Tzedakah doesn't have any relatives. Shiva University, there is only one. We're not even a distant relative of Chaim Berlin. Chaim Berlin is not even a distant cousin of Sarah Vadas. No tzedakah organization. Affiliate. So that was the machlokes, the Rashba and the Ra'or. A guy left the Matna Shchimira to tzedakah. So the guy himself had lots and lots of relatives. But tzedakah has no relatives. So that was a dispute, whether the Gemara meant to say that the concern is if the Noisen HaMatana is the Eina B'Teres Yerusha, or the Mekabel HaMatana is Eina B'Teres Yerusha. The Pashtus, we should look in the Rishonim there, the Pashtus in the Gemara, one could have learned a different shot, not like the Rashba, not like the Ra'or. It doesn't depend on the Noisen, it doesn't depend on the Mekabel. It means like we said originally, when I said over the Gemara, you are a relative of mine, but there are a million and one people in between me and you. I have children, so he bumps off my children, and my father, and my brothers, and my sisters, and all the cousins. You wipe everybody out, then you'll get the Yerusha. So you are a Yerush. So the Halacha considers if everyone is dead, for the purpose of you getting Yerusha. So one could say that it's not a Chisorin. It doesn't depend if the Noisen is a Ger, or the Mekabel is a Ger. Either. It should depend either. If either of them is a Ger, it means if even if the only two Jewish people left in the whole wide world are these two people, the Yerusha just won't go to him. Because they're just not related. Even after wiping everybody up, they're not related. You have to look in the Rishayim, because I think there should be such a shot also. Not like the Rajma, not like the Ra'or. But they had the machlokes about a matna shchimira to tzedakah. They had the machlokes where they go to Basra and Noisen and Basra Mekabel. Don't remember that it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. I don't know. But Chaim Oizah has a tshuva about tzedakah. It's not like both of them. He says that the mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames is the din mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. So whatever, the person doesn't have to be a shtemira. Mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames, he can be healthy at the time that he makes the tzavah. Mitzvah l'kayim divrei ames. So what do you need the whole din of divrei shtemira kiksuzim l'kayim surundami? Why not just rely on this little Tandir Ames? Tosis Kash. Tosis has such a big Tosis in the Obata, they shoot up one Torah, second Torah, third Torah, fourth Torah, five Torah. We pass them like several of the things. We pass them like several of the Mishnah. So one of the several things to me is that Mitzvah Lekan Divri Ames and Gitin Afi Gimel also. Same to, part of the same Tosis is in Gitin Afi Gimel. So the one of the answers that's quoted in the Chosh Mishpat La'aloha is that mitzvah l'kam nivram es only flies a pushlash mitchilu l'kach v'yad shogu. If I just say after I die, I am a galad, I say after I die, Dr. Lam is a nice guy, all he is, getting his salary, and I die, give him $10,000 for my yerush. But I don't give the money over to anybody now. So then we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, there's no mitzvah l'kam nivram es. If I give you the money now, and I say, hold this money. In case I die before Dr. Lam, then you should give that money to me. And if not, then give me back the money. So if it's pushlash mitzvah l'kach, if I gave it over to you, then you apply it to the Kandi Rabbi. So that's how we pass in the Chosh Mishpat. So Chaim Moshe says, he has a topic. Maybe when a person makes a secular will, maybe that's the equivalent of pushlash mitzvah l'kach. Because once this will is registered, once the lawyers have it, and it's legal, then there's nothing the Yorshim can do to protest it. If you go to court, then the courts are going to take the money away from my bank account, and they're going to give it to the other guy. They're not going to give it to my Yorshim. So maybe that's the equivalent of Hushlash and Chilul account. That's the topic that he raised. He said he's thought about that for a long time, and he thinks that it's not correct. He thinks that it's not correct. He doesn't think that a secular will is considered Hushlash Mitzchilo Lekach. Hushlash Mitzchilo Lekach means you actually gave over the money. Not just that you secured that that's going to be taken care of. That will absolutely be done the way you want. But he has one exception to the rule where he says that you don't need Hushlash Mitzchilo Lekach. He says if you leave a mitzvah lekach, the person leaves the tzavah that he wants to give money to the doctor, then he thinks that there's no need for Hushlash Mitzchilo Lekach. Because we say the sikh of the doctor that if you pledge to give money to the doctor, you need to give, even though no kinyan is made, so he thinks that like amirata la gavaya kim sirata la hagidon. So that's the equivalent of hushlash mitzvah l'kach. So he says that if you pledge to give to the doctor, the yorshim are bound to give it to the doctor, even if it was never hushlash mitzvah l'kach. Even if you said it at a time that you were not a shchid meira, even if you said it at a time that you were healthy. So before Rav Chaim Moshe's tshuva is against everybody. Against the Rajba and the Ra'o. They were fighting about making a matna shchimira l'tzadokeh, whether it's good or not, because the shchimira was giving has a lot of yorshim, but the tzadokeh doesn't have any morishim. So it depends, but noisin azlinon, but in the tabel azlinon, Afkhanoiz has to obviate the whole thing. So it's all wrong. You don't have to come to with the klal of divya shchimira. It can work because the din of mitzvah l'kam divya amet. The Mephoshim points out on this week's Seder, why is there a Kpeder with Fatana Bipurasim? Why do we insist, why is it such a Hashim as to bury people to Kibayol? The reason permitted to exhume a body in order to bury the Kibayol is considered more of a COVID, and that's one of the connections between the Kriya and the Haftarah. And Haftarah also says that David HaMelech wants to be died, the Kibayol wants to be buried in the same place where his family is buried. What's the chshivus of burying together with Tevarot? He said that this is to be mechazik the Amun and Chiyas HaMeis. And by the Goyim, those who don't believe, Goyim Jews, those who don't believe in Chiyas HaMeis, once the person is dead, it's all over. There's nothing left. They may as well cremate the body. There's no chshivus left to the body. Doesn't matter whether you bury him here, you bury him there. But if you believe in Chiyas HaMeis, so to demonstrate that we believe in Chiyas HaMeis, so we dress up the maze with a talis. So the Gemara says in Chelek that when Chiyas HaMeisim will occur, so the Meisim will be Chayim Mimal Busheim. It will come back to life, even though the body disintegrated and the Begodim disintegrate. But Chiyas HaMeisim is a Hanes. So just like the Nes will occur to the body, the Nes will occur to the Begodim as well. So the Meisim will come back to life with the Malbushim. So we dress them up with a nice Malbush. And we also put them all together, the Kever Rabbi, like you have a family get together. It'll be a family reunion. If the Mason are dead, once they're dead, it's all gone and forgotten, they're not going to be reconstituted. So what's the difference? They bury him next to his wife, the children, his father, the father, the captain. But if you believe that the Mason are only temporarily dead, and there's going to be a Tchiyas HaMeisim, so then it's like it's going to be a family get together. So maybe we'll put all the families together. But to be Mechazik the Amunah and Tchiyas HaMeisim, we insist on, we prefer, you know, we prefer to bury people together. Second marriage is a different minhagim and achrayim, whether you bury with the first spouse or with the second spouse, that children, you know, so all kinds of different minhagim. If some say to write one minig and others have other minhagim, different children, so different kinds of minhagim. The Sefer Hasidim is quoted in the everyday saying that it's not proper to bury two sonim next to each other. It's like you have to bury families together because they get along together. So two people who didn't get along in their lifetime should not be buried together because we treat them as if they're still alive and they're going to come back to life. The Pesach says in Kohelet that the sin is gone already, to forgive as man after 12 months is over. They give shares up. Some of the point out Achumish that Yosef tells the brothers that he's forgiven them and he's not angry at them and they shouldn't be afraid or anything. And he says, when I die, take my body back together with your bones and bury me with you. So they say that that's what he was trying to impress upon them, that he has no tarumas against them, that he's not their son. Itchem means we can be buried together. You have no tainus against me, so just like you have no tainus against me, I have no tainus against you either. There's an interesting medrash on the pasuk. And they buried, when they fulfilled Yaakov's request, and they buried him in Moreth HaMachpelah. Vayashav Yosef Mitzrayim Uhu V'yachav V'chol Olam Mito Litzvah Esobi Achrei Tovah Esobi. So the medrash rabbi says that Yosef on his way back from Chevron to Eretz Mitzrayim, he decided he's going to look in the bor. He's going to stop by the bor to see the place where his brothers threw him in. So they were all traveling together. So Yosef Hashem Shemayim is coming. But when the brothers saw that he looked in the bor, he's looking in the bor, he's going to kill us. So they started pleading. We didn't need it. This is not also. That's the Hemshech HaPsuk. That's how the Medrash understands. So what's the pshat? Who the Hashem Shemayim is coming? What are they looking about the Shem Shemayim for? Well, what's about the Shem Shemayim? What is the look Shem Shemayim? So one of the Mepharshim on the bottom of the Medrashat, one of the standard Mepharshim on the bottom of the page says that the Gemara says in the last Perek and Brachas that when a person passes by a place and asks alone that, he has to say Baruch Shalom and Nes, come up among them. So he was really nisal because Abore came among the Chashma Krat Mi'eshvon, he should have been bitten to death. So his mama should have been nisal. So he wasn't eating up alive by the Mechash Makran. So he had to go, the Shem Shemayim had to go see the boys of the Bruch and they went by him. He didn't want to reminisce about how miserable his brothers were. But they didn't know he's mumbling a Bruch, they thought he's muttering under his breath, he's going to take the comment from the brothers. So the brothers said, you're Achayetu, he's looking in the door, he's going to kill us. So they started to plead, forgive us, they didn't mean anything. Rosh Hashanah, the first parrot points out that in the prosik in the Navi Zechariah, Navi Zechariah is one of the three in the beginning of Binyan Bayis Shemini. So the Balabakim asked the Shadow whether they should still continue to fast on Asara B'Tevis. Asara B'Tevis commemorates the beginning of the siege of Yerushalayim, of Churban Bayis Rishon. So now that the Bayis Shemini was built, do we have to still fast on it? That was a shadow that the end. So the Navi said the Psa. The Navi is supposed to be clear, so he said the Psa with three parts to it. So he says, Tama Riv, Tama Hamish, Tama Asir, Tama Shvi. He speaks of them as Tama. Both of the Psa means you have to fast. And he says, Yil, Tama, the Simcha, the Beis Yisrael, the Yom Tayyipim, Mayadim Tayyipim, the Shabi holidays. And then he continues to say, that's in one passage, he calls it a Psa, and he says, Tama, the Simcha. And then in the next Psukim, he says, Did I ever ask you to fast in the first place? I told you to keep all the mitzvahs atari. You didn't listen to what I told you, so I had to destroy the Bishamidrish and send you into Golos. When I sent you into Golos, then you started your own minhagim. You introduced these minhagim of fasting. I didn't tell you. Want to fast, fast. You don't want to fast, don't fast. Do whatever you want. You're not listening to me anyway. I told you to keep mitzvahs atari and live in Eretz Yisrael and live happily ever after. You don't listen to me, so you're on your own. Do whatever you want. So the Gemara asked, what's the take his doctor? Yes, the Shaila. Shaila's a chubis. Rabbein is Chaya. Ask HaShaila, what's the din? It says they sent the Shaila to the Kohanim and the Beit HaMikdash. What's the din that we have to fast or not? Ask HaBachayda Shachamishi, he knows the Kasher, as we were doing for the last 70 years. So he says, yes, no, maybe. What we pass through? Yes, no, maybe. But the Gemara says, that's the Pesach. Yes, no, maybe. The Gemara says that this man, that you have a Beit HaMikdash, then you have to make, start from the simple, you have to make a yom. This man says, Beit HaMikdash Kayam, and there's persecution against the Jews. But there are those Jews who live in Iran. Then they have to fast Mitam Divrei HaNavi. Until then, it was only a minig. And then from that point on, the Navi approved of that minig. So he says, Tomar Vi, Tomar HaMishi, you have to fast the Divrei Kabbalah. The Navi told me you have to fast. And this man is there. We live in the blessed America, the Golden Medina, and the Goyim don't have too much anti-Semitism. But then the Gemara says, what's in the sun, what's in the sun, it's optional. Then the Navi says, do whatever you want. And then the place is quoted in the name of the Baha'i, that Parshav Yuhu Alayhu Chayvah. The Klal Yisrael has already accepted it as a Chayvah. The Bira Gro quotes in the name of the Ramban in the Torah So Adam. The Ramban in the Torah So Adam talks about the birth of people. He was a doctor. He talks about treating people who are sick, medicine. Then he says, what happens if the doctor didn't succeed and the patient dies? How guilty is the doctor? And medical malpractice. He talks about a whole section there. Then Ramban quotes the Gemara, says it's a septus about it, then he quotes about Kriya. The doctor really didn't succeed. The patient dropped sex, and he read Kriya, and then he talks about Pura, burying him, then he talks about Avelus. Then Minyan, Minyan, this is Teres Adam. When people are born, they get sick, they get healed, they die, you bury them, sit Shiva, and so on. And then he talks Minyan, Minyan, he talks about Avelus of Beit HaMikdash. He talks about Tisha B'Av, Avelus, Avelus Yishona. The Gemara in Yivam was called Avelus of Beit HaMikdash, Avelus, an old Avelus, it happened a long time ago. Avelus Yishon. So the Bira Gro in Hilchos Tainis, the first thing in Hilchos Tainis, quotes from the Ramban in Teres Adam, that he says when the Tanais Mamadibi Kabbalah, namely Rahman al Islam, those Jews who live in Iran, or those Jews who live in other countries of the world where there's clear anti Semitic persecution, but there's persecution against the Jews. But then you have to fast on all of these Yemei Tanaisim. Bayoma Balailo, 24 hours, and you have to observe all the Chamishim Leib. When it's only Ratz Misan, Ratz Aimisan, and Kvasher Yu Alay Chayvo, so then our minig is, we have accepted it as a minig holy soul that we fast, so we only fast Bayoma, not Balailo, and we only observe Yisra Achilishti, we don't observe the other Inuyim of Rechit Sikh and Ilsan Tashmisham. It's based on that Ramban that the Magen Avram there, and that's been quoted from the Shaloh Kodesh, that the Bal Nefesh Yachma Alatma. That one who is observed Midas Chassidus, means he serves in general, he's known as one who observes Midas Chassidus, should volunteer over here also to observe Leila Ki Yomo and to observe all the Chamishinus. Except, let's say, if his wife went to Mikveh, it doesn't matter, his wife went to Mikveh, Leil, let's say, Asur B'Tavis, and Leil Tfil also did a Chaybas Oino. Your husband has a Midas Chassidus, he's going to observe the laws of Tisha B'Av, like Tisha B'Av. All the other people in the world are eating and drinking and having Kashmir Shamika the night before Asar B'Tavis, but he probably Midas Chassidus, he doesn't do it, so his wife has to suffer because he's a Chassid. So there, the Shalom HaKadosh says, you're not permitted to observe Midas Chassidus at the expense of, when you have a conflict between a real din and a Midas Chassidus, you have to observe what the din is. And it doesn't affect anybody else, so then you observe your Midas Chassidus. Or the Magen Avraham also quotes from the Shalom HaKadosh, let's say, to wear shoes. So if everybody else in the city is going to be wearing leather shoes, and he's going to be the only one walking around in his socks, and it's going to be very cold late that this guy is observing his Midas Chassidus. How come he's not wearing shoes today? If sometimes he walks around with sneakers, he walks around with cloth shoes anyway. But today, I thought he should wear cloth shoes. But if the guy never walks around with anything other than leather shoes, and today he's going to walk around with something other than leather shoes, so then it's Mesli Ki Yuhara. And it looks as if he's showing off his new. That's what the Magen Avraham says in the Shema. So Rachi pointed out that the whole idea of the kindness is that it's available for the Chum Beis HaMikdash. It's not just that you observe the Chamishim Yomim. One should observe a certain form of Avelus. It's not proper on a kindness to go to the movies. That was his mashal. It's not proper on a kindness to go to the movies. Gig wants the whole Yortzeit Rasha that the night before the kindness is also part of the kindness. Based on this Ramban, Rashi says in Bama Madlikin on the Gemara in the Sugya of Chanukah that the night before the Tanis you also say Anenu. Our minig is, Rashi quotes from the Gaon, Rashi says, our minig is we only say Anenu by Mincha because we're afraid that we may forget and we'll leave. So it turns out that we the Dervish Kram of Ne'am Bacham, we say Anenu, the Yom Tzom Tanis say, and we weren't fasting. But in the Gemara it doesn't say that. The Gemara says we say Anenu in all the Tzivis. What says in all the Tzivis? In all the Tzivis means Myris. The guy died with Myris last night that he's going to go home and eat supper. It says the Sayers in the Barnes, he's going to go home and eat supper. Nevertheless, he says Anenu, because it's the Yom Tzom Tanis Anenu, this is the Yom HaKadosh. He says by Meirev, then he says by Shacharis, then he says by Mincha, then he says by Nila. And you daven Nila. Nila is not a tefillah Yom Kippur, Nila is a tefillah for Tanis. Whenever you have a Tanis Tzibur, there's a daven Nila. They go in about Baba with the Kasha. How can we not daven Nila? And so the Tevish, or the Bekamas, and so on, Tishuvah. They give up the Shverit, they give Shverit to Yitzchak. Because it's watching the sun by the same time, so it's only voluntary. Shverit Heretz 1. But Medina the Gemara says the Pharisees that they say Anein and all the Tfilis, even say by Myrus. So they well pointed out that you see that the Laila is also part of the Yom HaTanis. And tonight when you got Myrus, even though the people are going to be starved, you don't say Anein. But it's not the Yom HaTanis. Tonight is not the Yom HaTanis. Last night was part of the Yom HaTanis, even though you just ate a snack in the afternoon, just ate lunch, and you're going to go to eat supper. But last night was part of the Yom HaTanis. That's why the Rav pointed out, that's why the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara, that even though you're permitted to eat at night and only by yayin you have a ton, but once the person went to sleep, then he's not allowed to eat in the morning when he wakes up. Unless he made a kanai in advance, but he's not in salad from eating. If he stands to eat when he wakes up in the morning, then he's allowed to eat. But otherwise, we say that he's not allowed to eat.
For some reason, you can't do this, right? For example, you have a kibon or whatever, like 12 legs of shoes. So,
if
you just not keep that part of it, keep everything else,
it doesn't say anything. No, then the Shalom recommends he should keep the other
meat.
Yeah. As much as he can, he should observe. The Mishnah Brura has this suffix from the Eliyahu Rabbah in the Prima Gordon. He has this suffix that maybe on all the time Asim like us, or the Tevish, rest of the time and so on, maybe one should observe our Beilus like on the 9 days, like the Rosh Chodesh Barat time. Then the Shkodesh Barat time is you're not allowed to take your haircut, the place, you're not allowed to get married. Maybe you should observe all of those chumras on. The Rav's Moshe was going to the movies. You should observe all those chumras. That's what the Rav gave the whole Yoytai Joshi. You're not allowed to go to the movies the night before Asar B'Tavis. Night before Asar B'Tavis, you're not allowed to go to the movies. In the Shulchan Aruch Guf, it says, though, you're allowed to get married on Asar B'Tavis. You just can't have a party. Yeah. You can have a party also, but nobody can eat. You have a party also. So let's say if you daven mincha, what time is the shkia? Around 4:30 or so. If you daven mincha, it's 3:30. Then you have the chuppah and everything. Then you have the smoking floor. Then you have the whole business. Then you have the chuppah. Then you have the yichud. And after the yichud, it's time, it's day shakar ham. So then you can have the wedding meal, balayla, tonight. Shulchan Aruch says the Ramah writes the first, you can have a chuppah, you can have a wedding, and even though a wedding is also in the 9 days, even without a Sudas Kasana. But the Ramah writes Mefurish, he quotes in the Balei HaTesis like that. Tesis and Marsha, they say Mefurish, he permitted to have a wedding. Tesis and Erevin like that. He permitted to have a wedding on a Yom HaTanis. Just he can't eat. But the Mishnah. People, they don't know. A lot of people don't know when you're not allowed to get married. Right. In the 3 weeks, the 9 days, you're not allowed to get married.
Chalamoyim on Yom Tov, you have to spell out which day you're not allowed to get married. So you wrote originally, you're not allowed to get married on Asar B'Tavis and on Tzom Gedalia and all these days. So he asked me my opinion. I told him, I don't think his readers are going to read his book. I don't think they're going to be makna for that. So they check chumras in the Prima Gordon topic. If the Ramah says that it's mutter, I don't think you're going to be makna for it. Anyone who knows how to read the fine print in the Mishnah Brura, so tavala brachas, so let them be makna on their own. But to put it in an English book that you have to tell all the Jews in the world, they're not allowed to get married on a Sarah, okay? You can write, you can't eat. I don't know what he has in the book. I don't know the Maisha, whether he printed the Chumra or not. And the third that we lay on a tiny Tzibur, there's an interesting Machlekes HaTanoim. The Gemara has a Machlekes at the Yosef HaChachamim. How many aliyahs do you give on a tiny Tzibur? If the tiny Tzibur is on a Monday or Thursday, somebody gives 3 aliyahs Monday or Thursday. But if it's any other day of the week, so there's a Machlekes HaTanoim. One Tana says you only give one aliyah. One aliyah. The other Tana says, no, you give 3 aliyahs. But this is one aliyah. You never have one aliyah. Very strange Gemara. So that's all. You can interpret it pshat in that Tana Rav Yosi. Why do you only have one aliyah? He said that you only have one aliyah because the purpose of Kriya. What do you need Kriya HaTorah for on a Tana Tzibur? You have to have Shkadesh Shalayoch Shlosh Yaman B'loy Torah. You have to have Kriya HaTorah Monday, Thursday, and Shabbat. On Yom Tov is a special mitzvah of the Ramban writes on Chumash, Mikra Kodesh, a day of holy assemblies that everybody should get together, they should get together for holy purposes, for Torah and Tfina. The Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Tov, the Ramban holds as they write, Ramban Chumash and Parshas Emunah, the Ritzvah, and the Gemara holds like that, it's a din they write, the Bach holds like that. What's that with, why do you have to have Kriyas HaTorah on a tiny Tzibur? You can say it without the Kriyas HaTorah. You say Slichas? You say Slichas is done. Well, you have to have the Kriyas HaTorah. So the Rav Soloveitchik suggested that maybe the Ikir really is the main Haftarah. Because the Haftarah has Divrei Musna. The Nevi'im have Musna. The Chumash has Din. The Nevi'im the function of the Navi is to give Tafach and Musna. So you want to learn really a Haftarah. But the only thing is, Hamaf the Banamichach Shik Batarah Tchila. That you're not allowed to lay in the one that gets mocked here has to get an aliyah from Chumash also, so that people shouldn't think that the Navi is just as important. That's how you measure. People shouldn't think that the Navi is on an equal par with the Torah. You have to show Navi is a Madrega Lower. That's why one Tana holds. All you have to give is one aliyah on a Tana Tzibur, but it's mafter, that's all. So the mafter gets mafter, but then you have to lay in a little bit from the Chumash, and then you lay in from the Navi. The Shaila, but we don't pass like that. We pass and give 3 aliyahs. That's the Shaila, why? So that's the Shaila one. Is it because the Chachamim were Mesakin Achayvas Kriyas HaTorah on the Tainus Siva for some reason or another? They were Mesakin that you have to learn Kriyas HaTorah? Well, no. Really, this Mahalach is the correct one. That really you only want to learn the HaTorah, the Divrei Tachacha from the Navi. But I'm after the Navi Tzach Shibakashik about the Tchila, and the Halacha says you can't have a Kriyas HaTorah less than one Aliyah. You have to have a minimum of 3. The Chachamim were Mesakin that the minimum Kriyas HaTorah is 2. Why not Kimina? So there are a few nafkimina. So one nafkimina is the shadow that the Chacham Sofer has. What if you're in a community and nobody's fasting? So Chacham Sofer is mistopic to say that maybe there was a Takanas Chachamim on a Tainus Tzibur to learn Kriyas HaTorah, even if nobody's fasting. So if you say that the Chachamim are only mistopic to learn the Haftarah because the Haftarah gives Divrei Tachacha, so it's a Ki Matanis. Ki Matanis is not to eat and not to drink. Chilush Di is also. And another aspect of the Ki Matanis is to lay in the Navi, and you can't. In order to enable you to lay in the Navi, you have to lay the Kriyas HaTorah. I'm after by Navi, so Shikha Batarah Tchila. But you say that really the Ikir Kriya is the Haftarah, or the Kiyum HaTanis, but you have to lay a little bit Kriyas HaTorah first to enable you to lay from Haftarah. So then, only if you have Mesanis. If no one is Mesanis, then no one is being the time Mesanis. So then you don't have the Kiyum HaTanis of laying Haftarah. But if you should say that the reason why we pass from that there are 3 aliyahs is the is that Kachtik Nachavam, is the Chiyuv Kriyas HaTorah on a Tanis Tzibur, not only to enable you to lay in Haftarah, no, the Chiyuv Kriyas HaTorah. So then the Chacham Sofer has a possibility, he thinks that that's not lawful. The Chacham Sofer raises that as a possibility. You should lay in Kriyas HaTorah even if nobody's there. Laying on Shacharis is a big problem. The Vilna Gaon points out that that's a Takanas HaGoyim. In the days of the Gemara, they didn't have it. They only learned by Mincha. They didn't learn by Shabbat. The Gemara gives you the whole program, what to say to Ayyam is on a Tainus. So the Gemara says you only learn by Mincha, doesn't say you learn by Shabbat. So they're going to say, where did it come from? So they say, where did it come from? Where did it come from? The Chayyadim has a famous comment. He says that if you have 6 people fasting, and 4 people who ate, so you go basa rice, so you see Ruba Kukula, so you can learn Kriyas HaTorah on a Tainus Tzibur. He obviously assumes not like the Chacham Sofer. He assumes that you do have to have 2 from the Tainus Tzibur. Because you have to have the whole thing in your fasting. If you have 6 people, is enough. Ruba Kukula. Same the name of Yisrael Salanta, famous what? Why is it if you want to bench Muzumim, Hashem, so you have to have seven people to wait bread. The Gemara says you need Ruben and Mikra, it's not enough sticks. And on a tiny Sibur, you want a lane by Chal, the Chayyadim Taskus Laloch, oh, you need us six people first. They say, Yisrael Salanta used to say that Rabban Shalom would rather have an extra Jew eating than an extra Jew fist. But it's a little unclear what the real reason is. Why did the Gemara require Ruben and Mikra for benching Muzumim? I remember of Saleh, she had a time against the Chayyodim. Fish, lame on a Monday or Thursday, you want to lane Kriya Satayra, and six people didn't hear lame, and yet the four people already heard Kriya Satayra. So there you can understand that you say, Rubu Tukula, since you have a Rose Minion who's Mukhuyev, so you have Tzibu who's Mukhuyev and Kriya Satayra. Because when you were lame, even though the four have already heard Kriya Satayra earlier, they have no Kiyuv, but the Kiyum of Kriya Satayra will be Mukhuyev to them, so you hear Kriya Satayra a second time. So the Kiyum relates to you. But Anatanis Tibur, the Kriya Satayra is all for the purpose of leading up to the Haftarah, to say that's that. All for the purpose of leading up to Kriya Matana. So four people are eating. Not that four people have already heard Kriya Satayra on the Tanis, but four people ate. So even if they'll hear the Kriya, there won't be any Kriya Matana for them. They're eating on the Tanis, so there is no Kriya Matana for them. So how does the Chayyarim know such a double Tashu that you say, Ruba Kukulai? But if you have six who are fasting and four who are eating, that the four are mitzuras, maybe you can't be mitzar of them. Because not only is there no chiyuv on them, even if they'll hear the kriya, there won't be any kiyum on them. Because they're not fasting, so there won't be any kiyum on them. But that's what the Chayyarim says, that's the meaning of it. If you have six people fasting and four who are eating, so you do learn kriya from them. In the Haftarah, the Navi Yishayah stresses which mitzvahs are specifically mitzvahs for Gula HaAtiba, for Birat HaMashiach. So it doesn't say benching Ruchan. The specific mitzvahs, it says Shomer Shabbos Mechal Alo, it says Shomer Shabbos, then it says don't have any children, because if you have children, that's the Maher Bias HaMashiach. The Gemara says, that every baby that's born is using up another neshama in that area in heaven that's called Guf. So when all these neshamas will be born into the world, so then the Mashiach will come. The Gula HaAtzidu will come. So then the Pasuk says, what if a person is a tzoris and he's not able to have children? So what should he do to hasten Bias HaMashiach? Everyone has a fear. It says they have to keep Shabbos. Then it says, the Bacharu Bashech HaFatzi, or Machazikim Bivrisi. What's Bacharu Bashech HaFatzi? We do the thing that I like. What does Rabban Shalom like? Because the Prophet Chaim has essays about this. Prophet Chaim is very interested in hastening Birat HaMashiach. He was a Lubavitcher Rebbe in Europe. So he wrote, kept on writing essays and essays. So he says, you look in the Pesukim and Novi. It says Chesed. It says in the Pesukim. The Pesukim in Navi say several times the Rabban Shalom is Chofetz Chesedu. The phrase appears many times in Navi. His Bachur Bashech HaFatzi refers to doing Chesed with other people. Or Machazikim Bivrisi means supporting yeshivas. And even a person who learns, you shouldn't think that those who learn, learn. Those who don't learn, they have a chesed to support yeshivas. No, these are two unrelated mitzvahs. It's not Bimkar and that. It's not that if you're not learning yourself, at least you should be learning like they are. Make a shliach to learn. There's two different mitzvahs, even if the person is the greatest Talmud Chacham in the world, but if he's a millionaire, he has to give his money to support the yeshivas. Machazikim Bivrisi is a separate mitzvah. So these are things that are specific to hastening Birat HaMashiach. That's what the Navi stresses. You have a chiyuv to bring Mashiach. One opinion in the Gemara is that that's the mitzvah of Piri Berivya. Kodem Asim said the mitzvah of Piri Berivya applied even to the Yumas HaOlam, so it was just for the Kiyum HaOlam. And the mitzvah had with it another part, Piri Hu Milzot B'chiv Shua, that we should conquer the world. And after Matan Torah, the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. It only applies to the Jewish people, doesn't apply to the Nachman. And it's not Milu Sa'aris, and it's not the Chiv Shua. It's in Gantan a different mitzvah. So what is the nature of the mitzvah after Matan Torah? So one opinion in the Amoraim is to hasten Birat HaMashiach. Because Ein Vedav Lashiach HaKam Hashem Mishmadu. So that opinion in the Amoraim, and Haboi Vimta says, that even if one had children and they died, one has a child and the child dies before the child had a chance to give birth to children himself, he still fulfilled the mitzvah period with that child. We don't accept that opinion. We pass that the children die, we don't fulfill the mitzvah. We assume that the nature of the mitzvah period is to preserve the Masor, to transmit the Masor of Yiddishkeit to the next generation. That the children die before they themselves have their own children, or let's say they're not died. Someone has a child who's at the Dreka. a nutty kid. Doesn't look like he's ever going to get married. But then he has to make sure he has some more children. They're all going to get married.
Hi there.